from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. On Forum this morning, first, you're going to hear this. That's Eric Alexander, one of the artists featured in this summer's Stanford Jazz Festival. We'll talk with the festival's founder, Jim Nadell. And then you're going to hear this. That's music from the renowned Kronos Quartet. We'll talk with the quartet's founding violinist and artistic director, David Harrington. They'll perform this weekend at Stern Grove. Kronos Quartet and the Stanford Jazz Festival on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. In our second hour of Forum this morning, two musical traditions approaching middle age, the 42nd season of the Stanford Jazz Festival, and then later this morning, the 40th anniversary of the Kronos Quartet. Jim Nadell has been called the number one advocate for jazz music in the West. He founded the Stanford Jazz Festival and continues to lead its efforts today. The summer festival, though, is more than a series of concerts. There are also jazz workshops, day camps for middle schoolers, high schoolers, even adults. And we take up what is happening down on the Stanford campus with jazz this morning with Jim Nadell. Good morning.
Hey, great to be here.
Happy to have you here. Let me ask you first about the question. I'm a proud alum of Stanford as well as you are, but I have to say I don't think of Stanford as necessarily being where I would seek out jazz. It seems sort of anomalous in some ways. Why is Stanford a logical place to have a summer jazz festival?
Well, the summer jazz festival is independent of the university. We're a 501c3 nonprofit hosted by the music department. And because I went to school there, I knew the ropes and I knew how to sort of design a program that would fit in. But the university itself has a jazz program, and you'll find some brilliant players there that might have their major be in engineering or any number of things, but they want to play some jazz in their free time. So the top groups at Stanford in the academic year are as good as the top groups in any musical institution, but there are fewer of them.
And what are some of the things that make this particular event unique? You have everything from middle school age kids to the summer festival event series. Is it in part also an educational effort to sort of make sure that jazz is not something that is that only has a limited audience, that you're seeking out people to bring them in at an early age as well?
Well, you know, when I started the program in 1972, I had no idea I'd still be doing it today, but I had an idea that actually turned out to be pretty spot on about music education. And jazz music, which is a music that celebrates self-expression, but in the context of a team, everyone working together to realize a musical concept. It turns out there's no one proper approach to teaching it, just because there's no exact way to play it. Everybody that plays jazz has their own approach to the music. Some people play very cerebrally. They play from the head. Other people just sing from the heart. And on that continuum there's every point of view represented. So you as a jazz player have to find your balance of force and form or heart and head, and that becomes your way of expressing yourself. You can be successful many different ways.
We're going to hear some examples in just a moment, but it reminds me of something you're actually going to be doing tomorrow morning, which is early bird jazz for kids, where you have something which I'm fascinated just by the description of it, which is a petting zoo equivalent for jazz instrumentation.
Well, we want to introduce the kids to the music and the instruments that play it, because these are the folks that might take up an instrument, whether they play jazz or not. And so we kind of have a jazz event. It's like Old MacDonald had a band, but it's a jazz band. And then at the end, after having demonstrated the instruments, we have a petting zoo, we call it, where the kids get to have hands-on experience. They get to blow on a trombone, and then we sanitize it a bit and let another kid try it. And we set up all the instruments and let the kids get a shot.
Let's listen to one of the performers that are going to be part of your concert series. This is Chucho Valdez, El Bolero from the Virtuosa. He will be performing, his quintet will be performing on August the 10th. Let's listen to a little bit of this. Chucho Valdez, El Bolero. Tell me something more about what makes him unique and special, why you wanted him part of this festival.
Well, Chucho is one of the great masters of the piano and one of the greatest artists living today. And so it's wonderful to have him coming. He's from Cuba. He now lives in Spain. So jazz is such a great broad umbrella of styles today. And Chucho, he's in the Latin style, the Afro-Cuban style. And we wanted to have all points of view represented in our festival, and to have a virtuoso like Chucho come with his band to play in the new Bing Concert Hall. It's going to be a wonderful event closing our season on August 10th.
Describe the hall for a moment for those who have not had the pleasure of being there. I went to one concert there a month or so ago. It's a remarkable facility.
I should say that most of our concerts are in the Dinkelspiel or the Campbell Recital Hall, but occasionally we had our opening show with Herbie Hancock, and we'll close this year with Chucho Valdez and Bing. And it's built what they call in vineyard style, that is, it's in the round, and it's optimized for acoustic music. It's incredibly resonant. It's incredibly comfortable and a remarkable place to hear music.
Let's hear from another artist. This is something that's going to be taking place at the Campbell Recital Hall Sunday at 7:30. This is the vocalist Madeline Eastman. We're waiting to get that queued up as we talk about that. Oh, here she is.
I never resisted.
Love is a danger.
I'm willing to risk it.
You are that danger.
And danger is Y-O-U. Don't go messing with my heart or you end up hurting me.
You got the kind of eyes that I could really go for.
You got the kind of lips that make me want to know more, yeah.
You better not say nice things just for me or I'll tumble down.
If you ever, ever smile that secret smile that lovers smile, I'll drown.
Well, Madeline Eastman singing along with Mark Murphy, performing with pianist Randy Porter Sunday at 7:30 at the Campbell Recital Hall.
Yeah, Madeline, she is just the greatest. And it shows you the diversity in the program. And you have someone like Chucho Valdez, and contrasting with the small group sound, Madeline will be with Randy Porter on Sunday. The great singer you heard with her there, Mark Murphy, won't be in town. But the festival can encompass so many different styles. And even within the Latin realm, you have Chucho Valdez, but then later on we'll have Rebecca Malleon with a more of a large ensemble, her Afro-Cuban fusion group.
She's terrific. We've actually had her here on Forum, and her sister is our senior producer for the California Report. So we have a special connection to the Malleon family.
They're tremendous. And tomorrow night we have the Trio da Paz with Romero Lubambo. And he will be leading a quartet with a singer and celebrating Brazilian jazz. So even within the realm of Latin jazz, there are so many different colors and styles.
Tell me something more about the state of jazz right now in the West Coast and in the Bay Area in particular. The San Francisco Jazz Center opened earlier this year, great new facility. Is the state of the state of jazz healthy, good?
I think it's healthy because so many people are now enjoying the music and having access to it through facilities like the new SF Jazz Center or what we're doing down at Stanford. And also you have a tremendous amount of interest in playing the music. There are so many wonderful benefits to playing jazz. Music in general teaches you perseverance and self-discipline, but jazz in particular shows a young person how to think on their feet, how to function in a team, how to listen while they're engaged in an activity. And anytime you have a collective activity, and certainly rhythmically based like jazz, I think it's very healthy for the human spirit. Art is great. You know, art puts you in touch with a part of your humanity that you won't have access to in other ways. And music in particular brings you together as a group and a chance to do something greater than the sum of the parts.
Jim Nadell, the founder, executive, and artistic director of the Stanford Jazz Workshop, which is putting on the Stanford Jazz Festival for the 42nd year this summer on the Stanford University campus. Let's hear next from Dana Stevens, and then we'll have the opportunity to speak with him. He will be performing on July the 28th, so in a couple of weeks at 7:30. Let's listen to Dana Stevens. Dana Stevens, who will be performing along with Taylor Eichste and drummer Tootie Heath on July the 28th at 7:30 as part of the Stanford Jazz Festival. And Dana Stevens joins us now. Dana, good morning.
Yeah. Good morning. How are you guys up there?
We're great. Thank you very much for joining us as well. Are you looking forward to being back at Stanford?
I always look forward to this time of year. You know, I've celebrated my last 16 birthdays at Stanford Jazz Workshop, and it's always a family reunion for me. Yeah.
Jim Nadell, you were saying just a moment ago while we were listening to Dana Stevens play that part of what makes the Jazz Workshop and Jazz Festival at Stanford unique is this kind of community aspect. You can hear that in what Dana Stevens just said about the way in which people come together in the summertime.
Well, because there's not one exact way to study jazz, you put together a community where different points of view are represented. Somebody that plays very abstractly might be standing next to somebody who plays a traditional old form, older form of the music. There are Latin flavors, there are swing flavors, there's bebop, there's big band, and so a student can find their way through it. It turns out that this is stimulating for the students. They get to be immersed in this wonderful community. They can interact with artists informally as well as in the classroom or on the bandstand. They might talk to them over a cup of coffee. That's wonderful for the students, this immersion. The artists themselves get stimulated because they get to interact with other artists they might only see backstage or in airports or whatnot. So you get combinations of musicians together that wouldn't normally share the bandstand. And then the audience gets the thrill of hearing music that's never been heard before, that combinations of musicians that will never be heard anywhere else. And the density of the performance is something you might find in New York City, but it's very rare to find that on the peninsula.
How has that experience affected you, Dana Stevens? You said you've been coming now for 16 different summers. How has this experience influenced you, changed in any way your music?
Well, it's exposed me to so many different, like Jim just said, so many different points of view of this music. There's so many different, there's as many perspectives of this improvisational music as there are people that play it, really. And hearing and having us, you know, come together as a community and hearing all these guys in person really helps expand, you know, the possibilities of what you can do as a musician. And, you know, it's just, and, you know, just like anything, when you have a community come together, you know, it helps the community and the people in that community evolve and, you know, and bring the music further along. So, I mean, it's just a really great program for anyone who really wants to be a part of that.
Your own story has a unique community aspect to it as well, because of your own challenge with kidney disease, the fact that you are on dialysis, and you've had the unique, I think, wonderful support of a large community of musicians who have put on various fundraisers, including John Santos here in San Francisco, to help support the challenges that you face. Say something about that, if you would, Dana Stevens, about the meaning that that community has had and how that's helped you contend with your own health challenges.
Well, it really is just invaluable how much support I've gotten from the community, the jazz community, and people who actually aren't a part of the community even have at this point gotten word and helped out. We're in a country where artists aren't seen as the regular 9-to-5ers, and there's a lot of artists don't have health insurance because their pay isn't quite up to that level. Hopefully that'll be helped by revisions recently made, but and to go through that and know that the community I'm really passionate about has your back and are willing to go through these lengths of supporting me is just like it's overwhelming, really. There's no words to really properly thank, a movement like that. So it's definitely been invaluable.
Your colleague, the pianist Taylor Eichsty, with whom you'll be performing at Stanford, has also commented that he thinks you're the sort of unique individual who has taken that sort of challenge, and that has also infused your music, broadened it, deepened it. Do you think that's true? Can you describe the way in which that experience has informed the artistic output that you give to all of us?
Well, the whole experience has made me realize that, I've got to really take advantage of every moment I have. The thing that I've always been passionate about is music. So it's made me a bit more vigorous in getting projects out and writing and putting together new groups and recording. And, just in general, it just puts a bit more urgency to what my plans were earlier in life before this thing happened. But also on a playing level, stamina-wise, I don't have the stamina that I did when I was younger. Therefore, it forces me to be a bit more patient in my delivery musically, which has added its own thing to my music. I appreciate a lot more how Miles Davis approached improvising. I'm paying a lot more attention to the space and how that creates an atmosphere in the music. So, it's kind of like taking lemon and making lemonades with it, to be quite honest. It hasn't stopped me from being able to make music. It's just kind of changed my perspective and my approach to it. So.
Dana Stevens, he'll be performing at the Stanford Jazz Festival with pianist Taylor Eichsty on July the 28th at 7:30. Dana, thanks so much for being on our program this morning. We look forward to you performing at Stanford in just 2 weeks' time.
Thanks for having me.
I've known Dana since he was a kid, and he came to the jazz camp as a youngster and was playing brilliantly for a young person at that point. And he won the scholarship and returned, and he had financial aid and came through our program and developed as an artist. And he is now on the flip side of it, he's now back on the faculty teaching. So he's come from student all the way through as part of the community and has seen different sides of the program now. And interestingly, this year he's going to be performing and teaching. Then he has to take off for a week, interrupting, while he goes back to New York to play for a week at the Village Vanguard with Al Foster. And then he'll come back and teach at our jazz residency.
Terrific story. That must be your dream as the founder of this festival, that you would have someone who shows up one day as a middle schooler and comes back a couple days, decades later as a performer and faculty member.
Well, there are others, you know. Josh Redman was a similar situation, came as a student, then came back as
the saxophonist in San Francisco Jazz. Yeah.
And the list goes on. But we're very proud of the music program that we offer to young people. I think that it's a great chance for them to develop, whether or not they're going to be professional musicians. It'll inform any kind of music that you play. Plus, it will help you develop as a person.
Jim Nadell, the founder, artistic, and executive director of the Stanford Jazz Workshop. If you have a question for Jim about this summer's program, you can join us at 866-733-6786. We just have a few minutes left, but we can try to take a couple of calls. 866-733-6786. Rachel in Palo Alto has something she wants to offer. Rachel, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My husband and I are longtime jazz festival attendees, and we were actually talking the other night that we think Jim Nadell should be the recipient of a MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant because he has started this program from scratch, and you just can't say enough about it. Obviously, it ties into what you were just talking about. There were so many artists that started as kids, and some needed financial aid and got through the program, and the concerts are just incredible. And if I would recommend that people run, not walk, to any concert at Campbell Recital Hall, because it is the most incredible place to hear probably any kind of music but jazz. You have comfortable seats, they're sloped, they sound, you're right there, you don't have dishes clanking, you don't have a cover charge. It's just incredible. And we actually mentioned to another jazz festival supporter the other night about the MacArthur Genius Grant idea and how we can nominate Jim, and the friend said, well, he would just give the money back to the jazz festival. So that's Rachel, the kind of human being he is.
Rachel, thanks for the call. There are like seven different quotes from that you could put on either your bio or your brochure, either way.
Well, you know, thanks so much for the kind words. One thing I would mention about the performance is, you know, if you're a jazz musician like Dana Stevens or anyone touring the world and you go from city to city and concert hall to concert hall, there are some nights are better than others. And what we'll find out at the Stanford Jazz Festival, where an artist comes and for a week is comfortably situated at Stanford in an environment where they are, where enthusiastic, intelligent students are pulling their coat, asking them questions, where they're playing with their peers and other musicians that they don't get to interact with. Now they're on the bandstand in a unique situation. It's very stimulating for the artists, and it tends to be refreshing for them. They write new music. They play in a way that you'll hear more peak performances on the bandstand at Stanford than you would in general in your nightclub.
Elizabeth in San Jose has a comment. Just a brief one, if you would, because we're short on time, Elizabeth.
Hi there. I just wanted to thank Jim and also Dana. My son started in high school attending Stanford Jazz Camp. He was going to be a molecular biologist. Now he is attending Berklee College of Music as a jazz saxophonist.
So are you happy about that choice?
I am happy. I want him to be happy. But Dana and Julian Lage and Taylor Eigsti, all those guys just inspire a whole new group of musicians, and it means a lot. So I wanted to thank you all for your work.
Elizabeth, thank you. Thanks for calling. Uh-huh. We just have a moment left. So, Jim Nadell, I'm going to ask you to pick out something from our call list here, for something we should go out on. You have a particular favorite you want to draw attention to? I know that's a risky, hard question to ask the artistic director.
Sure.
But some music to wrap up our half hour here.
Let's try Eric Alexander. He's a great saxophone player who has elements of Dexter Gordon and George Coleman and the older tradition of Blue Note albums in the 60s, coming to teach and play with the wonderful pianist Harold Mayburn.
All right, let's listen to Eric Alexander. He'll be performing on August the 4th at the Stanford Jazz Festival. Jim Nadell, thanks very much for your work and for being with us this morning.
Thank you.